So excited to be here with you this evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're here live, that's fantastic. If you're listening to the recording again and again and again, that's so wonderful. I do suggest that you consider downloading the files to your computer or your phone so that you have them all in one place and so that you can access the information again and again if it fits for you, if it works for you, if it feels right for you. Welcome. This is Donna Iona Drozda at Wren House Studio, and this is the fourth session in summer school. It's our last evening together at this point in time, and I wanted to just give us an opportunity to remind ourselves that during this 45 minutes, you can settle in, you can turn off any distractions, don't multitask, give yourself an opportunity. If you're somebody who likes to scribe, have your journal in front of you. However, it is so appropriate for you to, you know, be out on a walk listening to the call, or be looking at your favorite tree while you're listening to the call. In other words, just enjoy the content and know that you're going to have access to the recording for as long as you keep it on your electronic instruments. So let's remind ourselves what we're up to here. We are making possible a shamanic and alchemical relationship with time using a natural calendar. And what does it mean to be shamanic, and what does it mean to be alchemical? We haven't really addressed those two properties much, but just to kind of plug into that concept, shamanic is the capacity to shapeshift. So last time we talked a bit about how we're raised. We are indoctrinated to the kitchen calendar concept of working with solar time. And that is not a bad thing, but it's a wearying thing. It's an overwhelming thing to constantly be on the fast track of solar time. So what we're doing here, and what my teachers have taught me over time, and what I've been engaged in without a break since 1989, if I'm obsessive compulsive about anything, it's about gaining insight on a day-to-day basis regarding the capacity to be balanced in this world. What a wonderful thing to simply be interested, curious, open, just kind of flexible with the idea that we can be balanced. And sure, we fall out of balance. Nothing's 100%. And yet, with this awareness of the solar calendar on the kitchen wall, and what we're doing is the lunar calendar that's probably not on many people's walls at all, but there are ways to access this information and have visual images. And so what we're doing here is we're building a calendar. You're creating your calendar. So review 101. Our first session, we drew a circle the size of a paper plate, and we put a circle in the center. And that was our work for that evening. In the center of the circle, we reminded ourselves that every living being, from a bug to a newborn baby of any species, every living being has the commonality of the energy of the ancestors and the energy of the elements. We reminded ourselves that in this beautiful circular calendar, the natural calendar, the center of the circle holds the ancestral energies of grandfather sun, father sky, grandmother moon, and mother earth. And also within the center of the circle are the elemental forces of earth, air, fire, and water. And certainly we can add other things in. The idea is that this is the place, the center of the circle, is where we can come to feel at home. This is where we can put in our faith base. This is where we can put in our personal belief systems. This is where we can know that we can kind of hunker down when things are intense and even overwhelming around us, swirling. That's not when we want to be out on the outer edge of the circle. We reminded ourselves on the first evening that that outer edge of the circle, the compass point, and we put in the east, the south, the west, and the north points of the compass on our first evening, reminding ourselves that the most important point, place, focus in our natural calendar is, how do I get home? You know, it's like classic mythic storyline, the hero's journey. How do I find my home in the world? So we just symbolized it with the center of the circle in the first week. In our second session of Explore Your Greening Force, we added in the 12 moon months of the year. And so we put in the 3 moon months between spring and summer, spring equinox, summer solstice. Then we put in the 3 moon months between summer solstice and fall equinox. And that's, of course, where we are right now in the calendar. And then we placed in the 3 moon months between the west gate of the natural calendar and the north gate, compass point. And then finally, on the second session, we brought in the last 3 moon months of the winter segment of the wheel, from the west, from the north gate over to the east gate once again. So we're looking at a circle, but we're recognizing the dimensionality of it as a spiral. In other words, we don't just keep going round and round and round and round. You are not the same person you were this time last year, and you will not be this person that you are today a year from now. So this calendar is really beautiful. It is so user-friendly. And so what we're doing here in these 4 sessions is just giving ourselves permission to begin to step off of the fast track of the rat race, to step into the natural grace pace of the circular lunar moon month calendar. We also placed within the context of each of the quarter points in the year a key word. So the spring keyword is me, and that's an alchemical term for all the yous that you've ever been throughout time. That's me. All the me's that I've ever been throughout time makes me who I am right now today. However you interpret that, this is not me telling you how to interpret it. This is a creative tool. So every one of us is just like going to our paint box when we're 6 years old and healthy, and we go over to open up our paint box or our get out our crayons or our colored pencils. We're all going to have the same arrangement of colors, perhaps, but we're going to pick the different colors and use the different colors in the way that we choose to. So the circular calendar is a toolkit, creative toolkit, because it really reminds us that the linear calendar on the kitchen wall is, that's a cool tool also. And when we put that tool with this tool, it really is shamanic and alchemical what begins to happen, because the lead weight, the burden, the ways in which we feel pulled down by the gravitational force field of the earth, the third dimension, it's counterweighted by the idea that I can lift myself up. So we put in the me between in the spring quadrant, alchemical me. Now we're in the fall quadrant, the 3 moon months of July, August, and September. And the key overarching umbrella energy is we, and we talk about others. We talk about connection. We talk about collaboration. Now, it's a toolkit. So clearly we don't stop collaborating at other times of the year, but we get to put a 90-day or 12-week focus, a seasonal focus. Every summer, we begin to put a spotlight or a laser beam onto how am I connecting in my life, and what's going on with my projects or my relationships or the skills that I want to develop? How am I growing my greening force? Now, force is an interesting word, isn't it? We're talking about growing our greening force. And force can seem very projectile in nature, you know. I'm going to put force on it. I'm going to push it. I'm going to make it happen. Get out of my way. Force can feel manipulative. It can feel intimidating. But force is natural. When we put a seed into the ground, there's a tremendous amount of force because the earth is over top of it and it's, you know, buried under the earth. We have to have the force to break out of the shell of the seed and the force to push a root down. The tap root goes first. Push the root down into the earth, simultaneously unfurling the first sprout, the first leaves, the true leaves that are going to come up out of the earth. Tremendous amount of force to create a head of lettuce, a cucumber plant, an oak tree. Tremendous force. So we're talking about a natural inclination to grow. And what we're looking at in our growth process here, in the growth cycle of July every year, we're looking at the capacity to grow our connections outward with others, with the we, the alchemical we, the we field. I flubbed it up last week with Rumi. I tripped over Rumi for a while, but it's, you know, it's all the ways in which we can get over the right doing and the wrong doing and meet one another in the we field. So it's really beautiful what we're doing in this quadrant. When we get up to the fall quadrant from fall equinox in late September over to the north gate of winter solstice, in that quadrant, we look at life. And life gives us an opportunity to really engage in the co-creative process. We're gaining steam. And we're also deepening our connection to our roots as we go into the fall quadrant of the wheel. And we look at, well, who cares? And we make sure that, well, I care. So if I'm the only one who cares in the room, it really counts for a lot. And it doesn't matter who else cares. I am going to appoint myself the one who cares. So in the life quadrant in fall, we look at who's out there? Who is out there? Is it all images of the enemy? Or do I have a support team? Do I have a clan? Do I have people who care for me and that I care for? That's life. Life burgeons, life grows, even more than we could ever imagine. As we go through the process of experiencing what we've experienced since spring and introspecting on it, letting die what needs to die, and then seeing the strength, seeing the power that has accrued, the real force of our growth. When we get over to the last quadrant in our review, before we step into this evening's real, you know, the crux of making this wheel our own in this last session of these four summer school sessions. When we get over to the winter quadrant, this is so rich and wonderful. The key word for the winter quadrant is mystery. Mystery is the most shamanic and most alchemical aspect of being in the world. Mystery. Not knowing. Not needing to know. Letting go of the need to know. That's, you know, that's kind of PhD work and beyond PhD work. So that's our little review of where we were in the first 2 weeks. And in the last week, last in our third session, we realized that, gosh, you know, so we might have the awareness of the energy of the moon months and the energy of the home, the home base with the ancestors and the elements, but how do we bridge from the compass points into the center of the circle? How do we get back home? And how do we dance the wheel so that it comes alive? So last week we put in our stones, our pathways, and we realized that in the springtime we start with April and we look for, we open to, as a creative tool, not as a be-all, end-all, as a creative tool, we open to 30 days. We open to the 30 days of clarity. We take the clarity challenge. Can I just look for clarity in what my vision is for this coming year, we say in April. Now, I'm going to show you by the end of this evening how this lovely little circle, this peace mandala, is so portable that if you didn't put something onto the circular calendar in April, no worries. However, we're getting the year overview in these first three sessions. So we look at clarity, and then it leads to May and wisdom, and May's wisdom leads to our brilliance, and everything is cumulative. When we get to the brilliance point in the circle in June, we know that we're going to turn a corner, curve around, to reach the south gate, and then begin to move up the south pathway as we are currently doing in the northern hemisphere. And we see that July is the growth moon month. Growth leads to trust. Trust leads to love. And love is this, again, it's kind of a shamanic, alchemical quality of love rather than the love emotion. I need love from somebody else. It's love of life. It's love of what we're impassioned to create. When we take away all of the distractions that culture and enculturation puts on us, telling us how we're supposed to live. And it starts, you know, before kindergarten. I mean, it starts in daycare. This is the schedule. This is the track. This is what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You're going to constantly know that you get ready, you go out the door, you come back, you do this, you do that, and you're constantly reacting. So the circular calendar is about responding. And the kitchen calendar is far more about reacting. And of course, these are generalized terms. But when we get to love, we turn the circle around again, we turn on the circle again, and we move over to the west gate. And at the west gate, things get a little wobbly for a while because the west brings up our shadow. We begin to see what we've created in the 6 months since spring equinox. We may or may not be happy campers. But this is where we get to really consciously, when we get to the fall equinox, we get to consciously call in our shadow and look at what's been going on and how we may be resistant and how we may be sabotaging ourselves and how we may be just simply not willing to do what it takes to accomplish our vision, our passion, our real love of life, and so we stay in the slow lane, and we keep putting ourselves into a smaller and smaller space. So a spiral is very expansive, isn't it? I mean, you can kind of draw it. Think of those slinky toys that many of us played with as children, and how, you know, it can just collapse in on itself, or it can be just kind of springing out, and you can watch it go down the stairs by itself and really stretch it out. Just really kind of visualize that vertical springiness of this wheel. And in our second session, we implanted ourselves with the circle, and we kind of made seven of these discs, and we started at the top of our head, put a paper plate on top of our head, and we just watched them ka-chunk, 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 all the way down to the base of our spine, so that we have a mandala, a peace mandala, a natural calendar floating in each of our chakra zones. Now, this is more advanced, but it's fun, and you can play with that, and you can really have fun with that. So we've looked at the calendar as we placed it together over to the west gate. When we stand at the west gate and look into the center of the circle, the three stones that take us in from fall, it, our experience, that leads to introspection, and that leads to strength. Then we turn toward the north gate, and the final pathway that we put into place last week is the idea of from the north gate, we get clearing, we get renewal, and then we purify what the whole year, all the way back to the east gate has brought us. And by the time we get to the purity moon month, it's March, and it's time to rebirth ourselves into the new natural year. So, how are we doing? This is not rocket science, and yet it is blast off awareness. This circle does not belong to me or to anybody. It's natural. And my intention, my passion, and I got to tell you, I had no idea that summer school was coming until a week before we had our first session. I had no idea. It was not on my radar. And that is the beauty. That is the beauty of the natural calendar from my perspective of walking with it since 1989 without a break. I just put everything onto the calendar. And I know that I'm using the kitchen calendar at the same time. I got my day book. I got my, my electronic calendar. I attempt, nothing's 100%, I attempt to be as balanced as possible in any given day. So what I want to do today, now that we've done our, our introduction, this is a four-week introduction to the natural calendar from Wren House Studio, and it's Wren House Studio Summer School. And we did our review, what we accomplished on the first, the second, and our third session. And what we'll do this session is begin to turn our attention from July's 30-day challenge to August 30-day challenge. And this is going to be really, really scrumptious. Now, this is all we're going to get in our weeks of summer school. But this will take you far. This will take you deep. This will take you wide. This will take you as high as you would like to take yourself as you begin to work with what we've done in the first three sessions. However, I wanted to add in, I don't think I wanted to add in, what's getting added in this evening is a way to personalize the natural calendar and really make it a tool of your own. So it's one thing to stand on April's East Gate at the, well, actually it happens in March, but it's the April new moon, and I don't want to get us confused, so I really delineate the month and just stay with the month rather than the new moon. But we just had a new moon. We're having it right now. We're in the new moon cycle right this minute, the Leo new moon, which initiates us to August and the Trust Challenge. So I really want us to recognize that if we're just getting introduced or reintroduced to the natural calendar, you do not have to concern yourself about where was I in April and what was I doing and how do I do this now? How do I start from here? Well, I do believe that, and I said this on one of the two-minute tune-up videos, that July, the growth cycle, the growth challenge, is probably, to me, the real depth charge of the year. In other words, if we can step into the month of July every year and really connect with what am I willing to grow here? So remember, part of our review is that I suggested for homework that all of us settle in with a commitment, to make a commitment, to a creative commitment and a creative collaborative commitment for this 90 days from the 1st of July to the 30th of September, a 90-day commitment that's actually going to give us a sense of negative stress that we can transform into creative tension. And with for homework, we wanted to kind of get, what is my commitment? And so we broke it down because it's so powerful to give ourselves choices and to make those choices somewhat specific, but that specificity can be really organic and have a lot of play in it. So we talked about, let's make a commitment, and it can be a commitment to a project, or it can be a commitment to a relationship that we would like to deepen into or cut loose, or it can be a commitment to a skill that we are recognizing it's time to develop. Well, truth be told, and I had no idea until June 26th, that my commitment was going to be to developing a skill that I don't have, but I'm developing that skill in front of your eyes. I'm doing it right now. And my commitment is to develop this skill for one full year with others, walking the circle until we get back to next July, and see what happens collectively. More about that later. So we want to get in touch with how this natural calendar can be used as just that, as a calendar. But it can also be used, and I really love this. I don't do it consciously, but it's really beautiful to walk through. So I want to walk through, first I want to introduce us to August and the energy of August in the Trust Challenge, and then we're going to kind of put that into context for each day. In other words, how can I trust the day? So let's talk about trust for a while. This is the trust cycle, the new moon. It is going to be a time period that extends from the beginning. Sunday was the new moon, about 5:45, I think it was, in the a.m. And this new moon, this moon cycle, this whole 30-day, basically 30-day cycle, is going to end with the next new moon, which will be on August 21st, I'm pretty sure it is. And that's a solar eclipse, and that's going to be a big deal. I'm going to give you some information about that at the very end so you can do a little research. I want to keep things as simple as possible and stay on track. So we're talking about how this new moon opens us up to August, and the 30-day challenge for August is trust. Growth in July, leading to trust in August. Let's take a deep breath. Trust is not an easy thing, and probably every one of us would be able to tell a story about how life has taught us that it isn't really safe to trust. We can't trust each other, we can't trust ourselves, we can't trust life, and we certainly can't trust the unknown that's out there in front of us that we have no clue about. So trust is has a lot of weight to it collectively, doesn't it? I mean, who do you trust? And why would you possibly trust yourself? So, did I do that poem? To give is ever possible, there's no lack in it. This is a lesson we all need to learn, and we learn it by teaching. Because it is our own doubt that limits us, this is the issue of our time. We must transform the scarcity of doubt to the peace of trust. We are rewarded with tremendous potential, and the power of our gratefulness undoes every obstacle of limitation. There, I got it. It came right back up into my little tiny brain at the right moment. So that's a poem by a wonderful teacher, Tara Singh. He's no longer on the planet before. And I think I have paraphrased it for so many years that it's not verbatim, but it's a really beautiful concept that the scarcity of doubt can be transformed to the peace of trust. Be with that. Journal that. Where's the scarcity of doubt in your life? Where don't you see enough? I'm not enough. I don't have enough. I don't do enough. This is a legend and legendary and epidemic, and it's a disease. You know, when the Buddhist teachers came into the West because they were exiled from Tibet with the political takeover, they came slowly over to the West and began to teach. And they were kind of baffled by, you know, Westerners gathering at the foot of Buddhist teachers wanting to learn about Buddhism, you know, basically the middle way. And Buddhism's got basic tenets that, you know, life is suffering and that there is a release from suffering, but we get stuck. Life is suffering. Life is suffering. I'm suffering. They're suffering. There's suffering everywhere. And so in Buddhism, we would sit and listen to the teachings, and the teachers would get kind of confused and baffled. Why are you so full of doubt? Why don't you know who you are? Why don't you know why you're here? So they kind of began to talk about self-esteem. And they didn't know anything about self-esteem because they told us there's no word for self-esteem in Buddhism, in the Buddhist culture. And it kind of reminded me of when I've spent time in Bali and I spent time in Tibet, that, you know, these are poor countries, well, Tibet. Tibet's in ruins. And so the Tibetan people are in poverty. But they have a sense of dignity, tremendously apparent, that they know who they are. Even though they're, you know, under the rule, they've got a boot heel on their neck, and it is dangerous every day. And then you fast forward over here to our culture, where we appear to be, you know, princes and princesses. With all due respect to all the different strata, you know, we have a lot. And yet we carry this inculcated message that I'm not enough. I don't have enough. I don't do enough. And so August gives us an opportunity to step into a 30-day challenge to trust. I have a me, and I can connect with a we. The we could be the person that I live with. That's our we space. It doesn't have to be a huge community. Can we be trusting of one another in the living room, being with each other in the kitchen, bumping up against each other? Can we trust ourselves, and can we trust the person in front of us? Maybe, maybe not. But this is the month to take on the challenge. So we don't try to be perfect about it. We just give ourselves permission to look into, who do I trust? Can I trust me? All the me's that I've ever been throughout time? Whoa, I hope so. That's pretty cool. I've got all this company. I've got generation after generation after generation of the energy that has coalesced as grandfather sun, father sky, grandmother moon, mother earth, and the earth, air, fire, and water elements to make me. Wow. As soon as the air is out of me, I'm gone. I'm of the earth. I'm on fire because I'm alive. And the waters of my emotions lap up against my edges all the time. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it in my orenda, in my gut. I can feel how I feel right now. Anybody out there? Anybody listening? It doesn't matter. I'm on fire. This is my passion. I'm so glad you're here. Trust. So let's look at a definition for trust. And it's the belief in something. It's the belief in something is true. Carl Jung said, all roads lead to the truth as long as we dig deeply enough. That's cool. Dig, 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 dig. Route it out. Get down into the root system. We do that naturally in the fall and the winter quadrants. We dig, dig, dig. We are gold miners. And it is so yummy what we find down around our roots. So we want to believe in something as true. We want to recognize something as trustworthy. What a great word. Trustworthy. They're not trustworthy. I'm not going to put any of my attention on them, what they stand for, what they say, how they act, who they are. No way. I am not giving my life force away to something that is not trustworthy. What a great word. Trust has terrific connections to things like positiveness and confidence and entrustment. I have told myself for years and years and years, I guess probably since before, probably since 1980, before I even met this circle, I've told myself I live on a trust account. I know why I did that. Yeah, this is why I did that. Because when I was a kid, I knew a senator's daughter. And he was a very well-known senator, and she hung out at my apartment because she lived at home and she wanted to be a little bit independent. But it wasn't time for her and her family structure to go out and be on her own yet. So you come and hang out at my apartment. And she let me know early on, you know, I'm part of this family, part of this dynasty. And I have a trust fund that's going to kick in at a certain age, and I'll never have to worry about anything. She told me that when I think I was 19 or 20. She told me about how she would never have to do anything if she didn't want to. But she was very motivated, and she had a lot of momentum around what she was motivated to do in the world. And so the concept of a trust fund knocked my socks off. And I began to just imagine, before I even met the wheel, I began to imagine, because this is really an imagination tool, really is. And what are you without your imagination? I began to imagine, I'm an artist and I live on a trust fund. And I'll be damned. Here I am, all these many years later, I'm an artist and I live on a trust fund. I am trustworthy. I am managing my trust fund. So trust is something to play with this 30 days. Play with it. Look it up in the dictionary. Look it up in the thesaurus. See what you can learn about the word trust. It has a great deal to do with awareness and an assurance, something, a faith base that comes from inside. It doesn't have to be anybody else's faith base, because every faith base that's on the planet came from somebody telling us their story. They wandered out here and they heard the voice and they saw the place and they made the motion and they came back and said, hey, come here. If you do what I do and what I hear what I heard and you say what I say, we're going to have a great club. We don't need any more clubs, but we can really use a lot more growth leading to trust, leading to love. Together. Together. So the idea of trust is our 30-day challenge. And trust is something that really can throw us for a loop. How can we possibly trust life? Really, how can we trust life when we hear the news and we see what's going on or we review some of the things that have happened in our lives? Bad things happening to good people. You know, it happens all the time. How can we trust? Well, we trust by getting curious. We get curious about where does trust fail us. It's usually somewhere inside of us. We don't trust ourselves. That's probably pretty much the bottom line. If we don't trust ourselves, then we allow in things that are going to be untrustworthy. So, we're almost at the end of our time. Oh my God, I want to personalize the calendar for you, and here's how you do it. So, you don't have to do anything right now. You can close your eyes and you can just take a deep breath. Every dawn, you wake up, you open your eyes in the morning. Dawn is the East Gate, and that's the beginning of your personal daily pattern, your personal daily wheel. This is your opportunity to live the circle within a 24-hour period of time. And so from dawn until noon, that's clarity, wisdom, and brilliance. From noon until dusk, that is growth, trust, love. From dusk until midnight, that is experience, introspection, and strength. And from midnight back around to dawn, that's clearance, that's renewing, and that's purification, that's purifying. Now, we can learn a whole lot more about this as we go forward. And the next steps in our summer school, the whole summer school is over. Thank you for being here. But I might have a little celebration of summer school next Monday. And so we might meet up again to celebrate where we've come from. And in the meantime, I'm going to send out a little survey so that you can actually engage. And next week's will be an open call so that we can actually talk with one another. And I'm looking into getting us transcripts as part of our next steps. You can actually read the material and engage with it in that way. So in personalizing the wheel, waking up in the morning, dawn, the beginning of a new day, gives us the morning hours to gain clarity, wisdom, and brilliance around what it is we're centered on for the day. what's coming out of our home zone to focus on today. By noon, we're at the South Gate. We take a break at noon, just kind of, you know, regroup. And we're looking at the afternoon now. And we're looking at the opportunity to grow what we've been engaged in and trust that it is growing and love that we're making the commitment to our project, to our relationship, and or to the skill that we're developing. So we're chunking the year down into daily increments, and the year is chunked down into 90-day increments. See how the trickling happens? If we invest every day from dawn until dusk in actively engaging in the commitment that we've made to our project, to a relationship's health, or to a skill that we want to develop, by the time we get to dusk, we can take some time and breathe. So I like to give you a little homework assignment here, too. At dusk, you could get a tea candle, and you could light the candle as the light daylight fades. Light the candle and set it on a table someplace where you can see that single flame. That little tea candle is going to burn out within 3 hours. That's powerful. That three-hour candle is going to give you a sight meditation, a visual connection to the quieting between dusk and midnight. Now, you might go to bed at 10, you might go to bed at 11, but the idea is we're just symbolically using this information as a creative toolkit. So how lovely to have that time between dusk and midnight to quiet, to do quieting things. Maybe have a lovely dinner with a friend, have some conversation, watch a movie, read a book, give yourself plenty of time to ease in to the darkness and the dream time. And then from midnight back over to dawn, which is the north compass point is midnight and dawn is the east compass point, go right into that mystery of the dream time, where we clear away the day, our body regenerates itself, we renew, we purify the toxins in our body are getting, you know, released through the dream time, through sweat and through just the processes, the bodily processes that go on through the resting time of the day. And we wake up, our eyes open at dawn. You can put it in quotes because you might wake up before or after. But we wake up at dawn and we're ready to begin the vision for the day, clarifying my commitment, having the wisdom to keep moving forward, having the brilliance to feel lit up about what I'm engaged in, my project, this relationship that means so much to my heart, or this skill that I'm choosing to develop. So you see how you can telescope this natural calendar. From our first week to now, you can see the layers of it and how you can grow it. And you can go back to session one and you can begin to really, you can pay attention to those compass points and home. You can go to session two and you can begin to really look at the 30-day challenge, which we will keep going with through the YouTube every Tuesday, every Thursday. You'll get your two-minute tune-up that connects you to the challenge of the moon month. And so on we go. I will be in touch with you. I love you dearly for taking the time in investing in yourself, in being enough, in having enough, and in doing enough that you could step out of linear kitchen wall calendar time and step in to moon time, lunar time, the lunacy of being a lunatic. If you want to know more about the upcoming solar eclipse and the Leo cycle, I strongly recommend that you seek out Sunny Mosley at zodiacarts.com and let her be your teacher of all things zodiacal, because I don't want to get complicated here and bring in all this wonderful additional information at this time. But I do want you to investigate the upcoming eclipses if you feel so moved. So zodiacarts.com, all one word. Sandra and David Mosley, Sonny Mosley, will be your teacher for all things regarding the eclipse. And I will be sending out this MP3 file in the next day, and a survey will follow. This is Donna Iona Drosa at Wren House Studio Summer School, and I am bowing in your direction for being part of the circle dance. It's audacious, it's shamanic, and it's alchemical. Let's do this thing. Bye.